and welcome to Checked Out. We're broadcasting from Euclid Public Library in beautiful Euclid, Ohio. I'm Casey Armstrong, Director of the Library.
And I'm Mike Stein, Assistant Manager of Adult Services. We talk about our favorite books, movies, services, and events with our favorite people in our favorite community. Each podcast will feature a theme. Today, we're talking about books with Cleveland booktuber Naomi Ortiz Garcia. Naomi is an avid reader who shares her love for books on social media, including her YouTube channel, Naomi's Library. When she isn't reading books and chatting at home, she's helping others enjoy reading at her job with Overdrive, home of the Libby app, as a social media specialist and book distributor. Naomi, welcome to Checked Out.
Thank you so much. I've never gotten an intro like that before.
But we're happy to have you here, and you've got a lot to talk about, so a lot to introduce. Yeah. But I've never heard of the term booktuber. You use that to describe yourself. Where did that come from and how did you become one?
Yeah. So I was actually born and raised in Puerto Rico. So I lived there for 14 years, and accessibility to books isn't as good as it is here in the United States. So when I lived in Puerto Rico, I basically would watch videos on YouTube of people reading the books that I wanted to read and talking about them. So that's how I found BookTube. So I've been watching booktubers for a really long time. I feel like the BookTube and Bookstagram community has grown a lot more recently with the pandemic and book talk and everything. I feel like a lot more people are reading. I used to live in Puerto Rico till 2012. So back then it was just like YouTube and Instagram wasn't really a thing. And then more recently, about 4 or 5 years ago, I started on Instagram, posting pictures, doing Bookstagram there. And then I started my channel later on. So I think I've had my BookTube for about like 3 or 4 years.
And we should tell everybody that Naomi's YouTube channel, where she BookTubes, is called Naomi's Library. So maybe you can tell us what your social medias are and how people can find them.
Yeah, so I am is the same at Naomi's Library on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. I don't use TikTok as much, but yeah, my name is spelled a little differently. So it's N-A-H-O-M-Y, and that's at Naomi's Library.
So Naomi, what is BookTube and how is it related to YouTube?
BookTube is kind of a term that us BookTubers kind of coined back in the day, like around a decade ago. And it's basically just the way that we call ourselves, people that talk about books. So like a BookTuber. Also in TikTok now, you're called a book talker. And then on Instagram is Bookstagram. So it's basically just the platform and putting book in front of it. And it's basically, if you talk about books, you create content around books. That's kind of what you're called on whatever platform you're on. But yeah, BookTube is just literally just like book and YouTube together. So BookTube.
So can you have too many social media accounts? Is that a thing or not?
Well, I personally don't like Twitter. I'm slowly getting off from that platform. My favorite one is Instagram and then YouTube, because I'm able to talk more in depth about books. I think I kind of mentioned it to you already, Casey. I don't love TikTok as much. So I just kind of got on that platform later in the game. And it's just a lot to learn, even though I've been on social media for a long time. So basically on TikTok, I'll just repost whatever I do on Instagram. But yeah, I mean, there's so many like different platforms. For example, also, I don't know if you guys have heard of Goodreads that a lot of people use to track their reading. There's so many different new like websites to do the same thing that Goodreads does. So there's like Storygraph, and I think just the community is growing a lot, like the book community is growing a lot. So there's all of these different services, like all of these different book clubs and Book of the Month and all these things, because they're seeing the book community grow so much, like they have such a big audience. So I feel like all these different platforms are creating something related to books now.
Well, I have to say the social media is definitely giving folks who love to read just another space to be able to do our favorite thing and talk about books. We're glad that you're in this BookTube space.
Thank you. Yeah, I think definitely since the pandemic, Everyone was kind of at home and everyone was looking for different hobbies, and reading definitely became that for a lot of people. I feel like romance is like the big, big genre, especially on TikTok. A lot of people are reading romance, and a lot of like big YouTubers that do like beauty or fashion and stuff like that have become readers now and also talk about books. I've noticed that a lot recently, which is great. Like, the more people that are reading, the better.
And we mentioned that you work for Overdrive. You run their social media outlets. Overdrive is the home of the Libby app. That's what our patrons are probably most familiar with. We get several other services for them as well, though. So you run their social media apps. You have your own. What's your goal with all the social media activity?
Yeah, I mean, I started it as a fun thing just to find people that were reading the same books that I was reading, just to be able to talk to them about it. And then it became something that I like to do things for fun, but I take them seriously as well. So it just became like a consistent thing, and creating all this content and everything. And it just became like a thing. And that's basically how I found my job now with Overdrive. I randomly found that they had a social media spot open. I didn't even know they were located in Cleveland, Ohio, and like 10 minutes away from me driving. So I applied, and it was really funny because like the CEO in an interview had like a printout of my YouTube channel during the interview. And I just thought that was hilarious. Like, I was doing social media before, but all of this that I've been doing like on Bookstagram and BookTube definitely was a lot of practice to what I do now. So yeah, like you said, I'm a social media specialist for Overdrive. So I run the Overdrive account as well as the Sora reading app. Overdrive has Libby and then Sora, which is for schools. And then we also have Canopy, which is the movies app. I'm sure that maybe your library has Canopy as well. Yeah.
Yeah, we subscribe to that as well. So what are you trying to do with what's Overdrive trying to do with their social media apps?
Yeah, well, our main thing is always library love. Definitely trying to engage a ton with librarians and libraries, and be making sure that everyone knows of like the sales that we have and webinars and all the resources and stuff like that. It's what we've been doing.
Well, I'm just taking a quick peek at your BookTube account. Yeah. It's really cool. I'm just trying to figure out. It's very nice, very interesting, very diverse. I see you're talking about Hispanic Heritage Month books. Yes. In September, and it looks like in October, you got some Halloween-y type things going. Yes. On. So tell us about the reaction that you're getting from the social media platforms. Do they vary based, because you said, you know, you're coming into TikTok. So what's the difference you're seeing?
TikTok is a very difficult platform. But yeah, I mean, I'm actually currently working on like a post to give like advice on Bookstagram and like the things that I've kind of picked up along in the years. And it's basically just having fun with it and like just incorporating all the things in your life. Like, for example, I'm Hispanic. I lived in Puerto Rico for 14 years. I'm Puerto Rican. So every year for Hispanic Heritage Month, I always put out a video. I always put out content recommending people books by Hispanic authors and all of that. I love fashion as well. So sometimes I'll do content where I like match my outfits to book covers. I also like to vlog a lot. So if I get invited to like an author event or anything, I'm always recording. So anything that I do in my life, basically I somehow tie it back into books and create content about it. It's like a constant thing in my life. But yeah, I've seen for YouTube, a lot of people love knowing what you want to read that month. So TBRs, people love seeing those. And Instagram is pretty much everything and anything. I've done videos of a lot of different things on Instagram. Yeah.
And your videos, they vary in length. I've seen on there, you've got like 5-minute videos. Some of them are a half hour. Most of them are like halfway in between there. You find one length better than the other?
It always depends on the content. So I just uploaded like a reading vlog, which is basically just like a week in my life. And I just show the books that I'm reading that week and my thoughts about them. So those are usually the longer videos. So I'm sure like the last one was about 30 minutes to 40 minutes. And that's basically a reading vlog. I read 3 different books that week. So I just kind of talk about the book and my feelings and thoughts as I'm reading them. And then the shorter format videos are most likely like TBRs, like what I'm planning on reading that month, or wrap-ups talking about the books that I read the previous month and what I thought about them, or recommendations and stuff like that. I definitely love doing reading vlogs the most. It's just fun just going about my everyday life and talking about the books that I'm reading.
So you're way younger than me for sure, just like everybody else in here. And social media is all for younger people, right? Are you finding older generations using these platforms, interacting, responding to your message?
I think my demographic, like the bigger demographic in my Instagram and YouTube, it's about like 35. I think it's like the average. I think it's like 25 to 35. I haven't encountered a ton of older people engaging with me on the platforms. It's usually younger people, which is also a great thing. Definitely on Overdrive work related, we do see the older demographic engaging a ton on Facebook. I always notice that, like on Instagram is definitely younger people, and then on an Overdrive social media, Facebook, the older demographic loves to comment on there and give their thoughts. And whenever we do posts, like engaging questions of like, how do you pick up your holds, or where's your favorite place to read, we always hear from from everybody over there.
Well, Naomi, you are Generation Z, and I just find it fascinating. I actually know, as a older adult, that I love to follow young folks. I know my whole family, anybody that's young on these social media apps in our family, we stalk them. That's how they're doing. We love it. We are liking, we are following, we are just engaged. I think it's the best thing. Because I don't think parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles would ever have this type of window into the inner workings of Generation Z and Millennials. So thank you. We appreciate it. So you talked a little bit about some of your selection. Some of the books you select, you said you talked about romance. You talked about going to author events. Can you give us a little bit more detail on your selection process when you're choosing a book to blog about or talk about?
I like to do a lot of themed stuff. So like you mentioned, like I have one where I'm reading like spooky books, like it's Halloween, it's spooky season. I read pretty much everything and anything. I read mystery thriller, fantasy, historical fiction, romance, literary fiction, anything under the sun I read. That last reading blog that I made, I read a horror called A Curse of the Reaper by Brian McCauley. That was really good. I also read the latest Ann Patchett, Tom Lake. That was historical fiction. And then I'm also reading a fantasy called Divine Rivals. So like I said, I read pretty much anything. I'm definitely a mood reader. There are books for seasons. And this season for me, when it starts going into the fall and winter, I love reading historical fiction and fantasy. That's basically what I read in that time period, like fall and winter, middle grade as well. The summer, I love reading romance, and then like October, like mystery thrillers. Yeah, it's definitely like mood reading for sure. So, but I do read like anything.
I watched one of your videos, I think it was for July, of what you read in July, and I lost track. I was counting. I think it was like 11 books in July, which,
yes,
good thing July is 31 days. That's still like a book every 3 days. I'm taking, you know, being in a library, I can take home everything I see and think I like and have stacks this high I take home, and I end up reading one of them. Maybe you seem to read everything you talk about that you say you're going to read.
I try to. Mm-hmm. I definitely do. There are some months that I'm very ambitious, and I say that I want to read like 30 books, and that's just not possible. I'm currently at 102 books for this year.
Wow.
Which my goal was 100 books this year. But definitely audiobooks, Libby app is definitely a great thing, a great resource. I read like whenever I get the chance, while I'm working out, if I'm doing laundry, folding, anytime I get, I would say probably like 60% of my reading is audiobook reading, and the other 40% I'm actually sitting down and reading the books. But yeah, Libby is just so great because like it's free, and then like if I have the book physically, I still always have the audiobook just in case, because you never know, you might be out and about and you're just waiting for something to happen and you forgot your book at home. So I'm always always reading.
So what advice do you give to young people to motivate them to read?
Oh gosh, I would say there's a book for everyone. It's not like, you know, I mean, obviously at the time, back in like 2012 and stuff, everyone was reading like The Hunger Games and Divergent, and those were great books to get people into reading. I feel like now, if there's somebody that's like, oh, I don't really like reading, I always ask, like, what do you like to watch? And have you ever read a book that you really enjoyed? Because there is a book for everyone out there. Not The Hunger Games is not going to be for everyone, or Twilight's not going to be for everyone, but there is a book for everyone out there. And basically, when people ask me, like, so, like, recommend me a book, I have to ask you like a million different questions about the things that you like, because I've read a lot of different things, but just because I like them doesn't mean that you will too, and vice versa. My best friend and I, we have very different reading tastes, and whenever she doesn't like something, I know that I'm gonna like it. So there's a book for everybody out there. Yeah.
Well, I like that you were saying that you read using audiobooks, because I think that's a great way to kind of trial a book to see if you like it or not. You listen to the first 5 or 10 minutes, and if it's not working for you, go on and turn it off and move on to another option. Mm-hmm. I think they think we get the book and then we have to read the whole thing, but you can read parts.
Yeah, there's definitely the sample option for all the audiobooks.
All right. So any tips for putting your own videos together, lighting or backgrounds or what to include in there? Do you jump on the hottest trends on TikTok? I can see you've got, looks like a pretty professional microphone set up and the sound is great. So what tips for making a pretty good YouTube or TikTok or anything video?
Oh, gosh. I have learned a lot of things along the way. Like, I obviously did not get this mic on my very first day that I started. I would just say just get started. There's so many of my friends that do all of their content from their phone. I have like, you guys can see this, but I have like a vlog camera. I have like a professional camera, but all of these things were like trial and error. Like, this is not the first camera that I owned. And I know a lot of my friends do their content on like their phone for YouTube. So I would just say, even if you don't have all the equipment, just like get started and do content about something that you're really passionate or excited about. If there's a book that you're reading and you're like, oh, I wish I knew someone that was reading this book, like I really want to talk to this about someone with someone, post it on Instagram and use the hashtags for like the name of the book so people can find it. When it comes to trends and stuff, I just like create content of from what I'm seeing on Instagram and the content that I like watching. So I've been seeing a lot of like routine videos from girls that like do their routines in a 30-second video, and I really enjoyed those, so I made my own. And I saw some of my friends like doing like 30-second videos about all of the books that they read the previous month, so I made my own. So it's really just download the app that you want to start with, whether it's YouTube or Instagram, and just start browsing, start exploring and seeing the content that you like watching and that maybe you'd want to make. And I would just say start there, and all you need is a phone with a camera if you have it. And then slowly but surely, you'll make friends. You'll be able to ask them how they got started, what camera they're using, and just get ideas from there.
Well, I'm looking at your Instagram. So an author event that you participated in at the Cleveland Public Library, what it looks like, Elizabeth Acevedo?
Yes.
I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing her name. Can you pronounce it correctly for us?
Elizabeth Acevedo. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. Can you explain, like, how does that work? And what do you do when you go to these author events at libraries or bookstores? Yeah.
Cuyahoga County Public Library has invited me to a couple. So I went to Silvia Moreno Garcia, who wrote Mexican Gothic. That was an awesome event. And they very kindly invite me to create videos for them. So that's how that one went about. But for Elizabeth Acevedo, it was because I've done an internship with Literary Cleveland, and they're amazing, amazing organization. If you don't know about them, they do a ton of writing classes, and they host the Incubator, which is a free writing conference here in Cleveland. And that just happened, and they invited me to be basically Elizabeth's main contact point for the conference. So basically, I was just like walking her to her events and stuff. She's one of my favorite authors. I've read everything that she's written, which was just such an amazing experience for me. But I just have a really close relationship with the people at Literary Cleveland because I did an internship with them, and I'm always working with them. Last year, they asked me to do a panel, and basically it was like Bookstagram, BookTube 101, and talking about my process and everything. So I did that last year. And you also asked me, Mike, about lighting and camera and everything. And I actually did like a whole 10-15 minute video for Literary Cleveland talking about all of like my equipment and stuff that I use. And that is on their channel, Literary Cleveland.
Well, Naomi, we really appreciate you joining us. Is there anything else we didn't touch on that you want to let us know about? Anything about Overdrive or that they got coming up?
Nothing that I can think of right now.
Or anything about Taylor Swift? I know you're a Swiftie. Yes. Based on some of those videos.
Have you been to one of the concerts?
Listen, any opportunity that I get to talk about Taylor Swift. I went to the Pittsburgh concert. I went two nights in a row, and it was everything. yeah, and speaking of Taylor Swift, I noticed a lot of the memes recently with her and like Travis Kelce and the football game. And if you go to Overdrive and you see a meme about Taylor Swift and librarians, that was definitely me. I mean, anything posted on Overdrive, it's me. But if you see anything about Taylor Swift on Overdrive or anything, that was my idea.
Wow. Well, I have to say that I know her 1989 album is going to be released. Mm-hmm. And I was watching her, I think, on TikTok the other day. Mm-hmm. And the CD is in a book that she's releasing. It's her journal, her diary entry. She's chosen several diary entries. So when you buy the album this year, you'll get that as a special gift. So I expect to see you blogging about that, Nate.
I will be.
And I have a friend who has a 12-year-old daughter, 13 maybe, but couldn't make it to the concerts, but they went to the Taylor Swift concert movie documentary and sent a video of all the kids in there dancing around and all their lights and everything. And I'm seeing a lot of videos like that, people from the Taylor Swift documentary movie, and they're just lots of fun. I think they're adorable. It looks very wholesome. It looks like a really neat event. So whatever she's got going on, let's have more of it.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. I kept seeing a lot of people because not a lot of people are watching football. I saw a lot of people saying, like, can Taylor Swift go to a library? So everybody goes to the library now.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And did you know that Travis Kelce is from Cleveland Heights?
Yes. I'm like, so, I really hope that they have a house here. If that.
Yeah. People keep saying maybe he's going to bring her back and we'll see him walking down Coventry or something like that. They do have Taylor Road.
Well, let's just go ahead and put that out in the universe right now, Taylor. If you happen to be listening to this, we invite you to Euclid Public Library with Naomi. Me and Mike, we'd be thrilled to have you to talk more about what you're doing in the 1989 CD and your diary.
Yeah, Taylor, come check us out. All right, so that's Naomi Ortiz Garcia joining us today. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast with us, and everybody should try to find your social medias by searching Naomi's library, and that's Naomy. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you.
the news you cannot use.
Remember, don't try to use any of this news in any other context because it will result in a big failure. Make sure you check out our twice a year book sales because, well, you never know. In a recent sale at the Wolverhampton Library in England, a lucky buyer found a first edition of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. The buyer bought it for 30 pence, which is less than you think, about 36 cents in American money. Only 500 copies of this first edition were printed. And according to AntiqueTrader.com, it went from one of the least expensive Harry Potter books ever sold to the most expensive. That book sold at auction this past summer for more than 39 million pence, or $471,000 in United States currency. Odds are against you finding such a treasure at the Friends of the Euclid Public Library book sale, but you're sure to find plenty of other bargains.
Maybe a rare edition of a Harry Potter book isn't for you. In that case, you can purchase an entire library building for not even half as much. The abandoned Middleton Carnegie Library Building, about halfway between Dayton and Cincinnati, is up for sale, according to citybeat.com. Now, the building has sat vacant for around 20 years, as various developers have thought to turn it into a brewery, a restaurant, housing units, or other ideas. It could be your turn to try if you can come up with $149,900. Based on the pictures, though, you might need to spend that much on trash bags and mops to get it in good enough condition to do anything with.
And that's the library news you cannot use. Thanks for listening to Checked Out. You can learn more about Euclid Public Library by stopping in or going to our website, euclidlibrary.org.